targeted at men who claim to love and walk with the Lord. So if you feel like, hey, what happened to a gracious inviting in? For the next 2 weeks, that's kind of over. We're going to talk to people who claim to love the Lord. And if they're visiting today, and you're someone that you have yet to make Jesus a king, that you're trying to figure out all of what this following Jesus is, you get to observe a conversation that we get to have kind of in-house with Jesus. So, like, just sit back and relax and realize that you get to watch me talk with our people, and you get a sense of what the inner life of God's people looks like or is supposed to look like by His instruction. So with that ominous beginning, let's just begin with a little prayer. Let's just do it. Our gracious Heavenly Father, that there are moments where we need the Lord to us. And all of a sudden, we can pray that you are speaking to us. Sin is one of those conversations that are not talking to the Egyptians, not talking to the Amalekites, not talking to the Philistines. You're talking to your people that you have come from darkness into marvelous light to live, to act, to speak in ways that point to your instructions. And may your spirit be work in our lives this morning, and may it bother us. Picking up from where we left off last Sunday, Abraham's descendants, or Israel, they have been freed from slavery. Approximately 2.5 million men, women, and children are making their way from Egypt to Mount Sinai. We're going to put up a map to see where this is. These are real places. This is not like the Continental America. These are real places on the map that still exist today. And here is kind of the journey. They left from that area of green up in the top, Egypt, and they kind of made their way down to where that giant red area is. This is where this scene begins to unfold. And as they kind of arrive at Sinai, they have no idea how and what is going to happen. But this is one of the most profound moments in Israel's life as they get an inside look at who God is. And in fact, this is even true for us today. That when we get into this part of the story, we read through the scripture of the Lord, when they come to Sinai, this is a moment that continues to shape our lives and story as men and women who claim to love and follow the Lord. And I want to explain how this moment has in fact shaped them and continues to shape us this morning. And here is the big verse that we use. Moses goes up the mountain and he has a series of conversations with God about kind of what's next. We freed us from Egypt, we've made our way down through the desert, and now we're here. God now begins to bring them in on the plan that he has for them, his people. And I'll read it to perform on you. This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob. So this is God to Moses, to the house of Jacob, or to Israel. And what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on people's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully, out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of peace and of holy nation. You will be for me a kingdom of peace and of holy nation. Very simply, the yellow portion of this passage of scripture, God longs to take this free group of people in this free country and make them summed up best in these two kind of expressions. A priest is someone who represents God by our words, by our actions, to reflect the very words and would reveal who God is by our lives, through our words, by our actions, by our hearts on this way, and that that secondary space is that you connect with who do not know him. So this is the best way, the simplest way, that I can kind of describe to you this office of truth. These are the functions of truth that God at Sinai to all invite these people to do and to participate in. And we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about it. Because there's a lot that we need to unpack in this room that shapes their life and continues to shape our lives this way. And I'm explaining this whole idea of truth. This is not a new testament. It starts here, but it runs way into the New Testament. There's no men who've gone before us that we can hold up and push forward under their ideas. We read the scriptures and allow the Spirit of God to shape us as we do. But the priesthood of all believers is that we all play a priestly role with each other. That it's not just me who is paid to do this, it's you too. That we have this responsibility to love, walk with, minister to, because we are a role priesthood together. We have learned that God wanted to use the Israelite people to introduce himself to the world through this world. We have learned how important it is that humanity knows God, because we can't even really live in this life without knowing God and walking in his ways. We experience a distant second expression of what life really is to be like when we live in a relationship with the Lord. We have learned that we lost this relationship with God and being populated in their own way. In this moment, we all have inherited a debilitating sin nature that forever corrupts us and ruins us when we remain outside of God's design. And so, God out of love, God attempting his great effort to make himself known to a world that all of us have known him, through a people that he was redeemed back in Egypt, he's calling him to be the truth. To represent him to a world that has no idea who he is. But there's a large problem in this so far. The people that God has redeemed to himself, the people that God has brought out of Egypt, they have no idea what it means to be a Jew. In fact, they don't know really much about who this God is, who's appointed to be a Jew, other than he is the one that rescued them from Egypt, and he spoke to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is essentially all they know. And here at Sinai, God invites them in to become priests, to represent who he is to the world. They don't have a clue what this means. And then he begins to unpack all the nuances of how we do this as his sons and daughters. This is the place, the base of Sinai, that God begins to reveal who he is. God gives us glimpses that we read about in the Testament. God unpacks what he is, what he invites us to become, as we declare the goodness of our God to a world that doesn't know him. It is here, at the base of Sinai, where Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended upon the mountain. The smoke billowed up from the light that swept from the furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. But the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke the voice of God. Can you imagine? Like being out of book form. I'm not talking about mountain, but like being out of book form. And God like descends on smoke and fog and fire, and it shakes and it trembles, and Kingston is rattling, and Pine Valley is rattling, and all of this is rattling. And you're like, you there? Yes. Like, can you imagine? And Moses walks up into that. In the world. In fact, we started this journey through the story and made the comment that for most of us, we get to that Leviticus. We get to this moment where God begins to unpack all this stuff. We're like, okay, we survive law, and we kind of close up the scriptures. Well, in the law of God, if I can sum up this, every single law that God gives to Moses on Sinai that goes beyond the Big Ten is a further fleshing out of the Big Ten. This is how you will interact with me. This is how you will interact with others. There's all kinds of When you stop to examine these two aspects, these two sides of God's big law that he gives to Moses and to the Father, we learn a lot about what it means to be a Christian in this world. The first side of God's law lays out instructions as to how Israel will approach and worship God. They have very specific instructions around the garments that they are to wear, the construction of the tabernacle, items that are to be used in the worship of God in the tabernacle, the appropriate sacrifices and offerings that God is asking us to offer up to who He is, the festivals and celebrations and parties that God is asking His people to celebrate and maintain on a monthly or annual basis. There are tons of laws that God gives to Moses so that they will know how to appropriately worship God. Well, if they were called to the priest, and you were called to the priest, why don't these same rules of worship apply as it relates to how we worship the same God? Well, the short answer is because of Jesus' guilt. And that's not the easy answer, but that is the answer. We'll get to that more in a word of the truth. But for Christ's sake, because of Jesus, we no longer need to. However, these laws ought to shape our relational heart as we worship God, because our worship of God undivided devotion and worship of Him. And considering what He did for Israel, and considering what He's done for us, He deserves it. He deserves it in His own right for who He is. But He's actually given us reasons why. He saved people from Egypt. He has saved us from sin and death. He deserves to be worshipped based on what He has done for us. And even without what He has done as God, He's still worthy of worship. God's law reveals His holiness. And as such, we should practice Him as what He is. God's law reveals that this is one thing about us. Only the worship of the Lord is what He must do without God to approach Him. What does this look like on a practical level? This is where you can feel it on the standard. If God reveals these things in His law about our worship of Him first in our lives today, it means that we are to take time, make time, harvest time, find time in our weeks to worship. It is the priority of our lives as a follower of God. You know, I do that every week to pay work. No, that's all fun. I put on serious extra and sitting on the stage and call. I have my coffee and my bag on the way out of the web. Well, that is a McDonald's in worship like you. That is not what we're talking about. Taking our time to steady ourselves to glorify all that God has done for you. That would not line up at all with the heart of what God's speaking about His law as it is how we make time for Him in our worship. And listen, by our worship of God, we clearly communicate to a world that does not know Him that He either matters to us or He doesn't. He matters so much that I will arrange my personal calendar around celebrations of His beautiful name. Or I'll make up my own ways to talk about it. Which is that one. Finding the verse where we can do it. Finding the theme where how we make time for our King allows you to be willy-nilly in our hidden time around the high God, the one who has made all things for us, the one who has redeemed all things to Himself through His Son. And here I get to the point where our worship of God now, it wasn't until I became a father myself that I began to appreciate when we were on vacation with our parents that would rip off the 95 Highway 5 and land in church, they could fit and worship God. When I said that, I'm like, we're on vacation. He's like, really? We're on vacation. And if we were not near church, we would be in church together as a family. And I began to realize, to my own parents, this God matters greatly. And they represent that He is a significant space in their house. And as far as now, we're not here. We are not here. He works our God together. Not going to the battle, but in our own home, wherever we are, we will sing, we will pray, we will read the story, we will spend time carving out time to communicate to our kids that our God matters. And that He is worthy of our time, worthy to worship, worthy to study, worthy to know, so that they too might know what we know of Him. And be blessed in this rich and spiritual worship. I know that there are many of us here that we can go reach for our money. Yeah. How does this communicate to you that He knows? How does this communicate to you that you don't know who God is, who Christ is, get out of the mind of the family. So you do it just be a follower of the family. Relational part that we see in God, that if he tells his people that there's great preparations to do before you come before me, surely that continues to be true. Give an example. I'm married for 16 years, and I continue to date my wife. If I want that date to go well, there's a lot of effort I have to put into that date. I want to consider, I make reservations, I put my neck, I do my hair, I do all kinds of things. From you, a blessing. If I want that day to end well, it's perfect on my part. If I show up and no sinner, the date is over. If I'm a sinner and haven't kind of brushed my teeth, and haven't put any thought into it, that's just an awkward note. And then, as you're getting ready to date, you're getting serious to live. So if you're out till 3 in the morning on Saturday, like, what do you hope to get on Sunday other than trying not to fall asleep? Like, we bring these things on ourselves. Like, I didn't hear from God, they didn't speak in my life. Well, have you ever taken any amount of time to slow down and get ready for an encounter with the living God? When you ask him on a Saturday, speak to me tomorrow as I read through your words on a Saturday, and say, get ready for these moments where we can hear from the living God. So, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit. We need a culture in the West where God's name is so powerful that it's healthy. And that kind of I've lost more of God's people, invoked his name, and simply further their own personal agenda than the very activity of God. So, give me some examples. Wait till talk to you this morning. I'll give you some clear examples of the disgusting way we speak of God, invoke his name, to promote evil agendas in our world that Christians celebrate. You should get to know him. He's amazing. You don't spend any time. He's obviously not that amazing. No, but really, it just gets awkward. The second part of God's law focuses on how we treat him. Honor your father and mother, don't murder, don't be an adulterer, don't steal, don't give false testimony, don't covet. Did you know that if you look at the dozens of other laws that God gives you, that if his people actually apply within the nation of Israel itself, no one would be poor, no one would be honored, and no one would be poor. In fact, this is the people who are not Israelites, foreigners and refugees, are welcomed in and provided for by God. read it, you realize people matter to them. They hold intrinsic value because they're human. Regardless of race, regardless of color, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of religious merit, because they are human, they matter to God, and we interact with them appropriately. Because of Christ, we don't focus our attention on the people of the moral law. We focus our attention on following Christ by faith. And to do this well, by virtue of that, we will work at this. But if all we are is people who can come to know Jesus and then focus all of our attention on the law, you haven't read anything in this. The law served its purpose to reveal things to be true to human heart. And now, we are a part of something greater, and we follow Christ himself. And we let his lead shape us as, you know, he worships God, follow my example. That's the interaction of follow my example, and you will find yourself. Not to me, but God meant to be so much. He meant to be so much. God is human. By providing for people so that within the community of Christ, there is no poor, there is no oppressed, and there is no margin. We are not conservatives from the federal government. We are not Republicans from the United States government. nor are we liberals or Democrats. We are Christ followers, which is better than both of those things combined. We represent them well. But when we make it to these ridiculous categories, we just mess up this beautiful day. So the world needs to be for the God. The law of God gives us the power to see. It was to govern all areas of Israel's life. And if they followed it well, they would be wonderful priests that reflect and represent and invite people in to a space that only God offers and God provides. Hard to talk about this, but they really do justice. But when we find comfort in Jesus' word, we ask that the law is like, love God and not others. This is the whole law and the prophets, love God and not others. Will they be like the first thing? Or every other nation that doesn't know him that functions a certain way? Do we show the world that the worship of our God matters to our daily calling? That we build in, that we